It's an interesting set of readings this week from the book of Job and from Hebrews and from the Gospel of Mark. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, and then chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, listen for the word of God through these readings. In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Starting in chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him, and he is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then he is in your hand. But you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job, and with painful sores from the sores of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. And from Hebrews, starting on page 1863, verses 1 through 4. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets of many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." And continuing on in verse 2, starting in verse 5. "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowded him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. And putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. and bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He said, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 2. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? He replied. They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. Jesus replied, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will not leave his father and a mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery. These readings have been the word of God for the people of God. There once was a man. Job starts out like that. Job begins like a fairy tale. We've often heard that. I kind of supposed that in my mind. My kids were in Indian Guides and Indian Princesses through the YMCA. And we'd often go to camps or have folks over to the house, and we'd have a little fire pit out back in the grill or something like that and sit around and tell stories to the girls and guys, right? And that's what I thought about during this time of reading of Job and study, that it starts out, and I can hear this James Earl Jones voice, you know, in the back, kind of, once upon a time in a land far away, there was a blameless man who feared God. Now, I certainly don't do James justice, right? But you get my point. We know this setup. We know this setup. Something out of the ordinary is about to happen to this man. A journey, a test, an unexpected encounter. Nothing will be the same for this blameless and upright man. So I find myself kind of leaning in, kind of like you do at a campfire, at a storytelling. You kind of lean in when you hear that. And anticipating this roller coaster ride of a story. And the same is true for the Hebrews text. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors. It kind of starts out that way, right? Gather round, everyone. Gather round and listen and lean in and hear the story that we know so well told again so that none of us forget. And hear it again so that the moral instruction and encouragement or promise becomes your own and that of the next generation and the next and the next. That's why it it's so important to tell these stories to our children. Once upon a time, the prophets spoke, and in those days, these days, these last days, God has spoken through the Son, so that these readings for today, we are encouraged to lean in and listen for the timeless wisdom and the will of our Lord. And then Mark gives us this classic setup, right? The setup between Jesus and those who oppose him. Some Pharisees came to test him. Again, we can hear that prompting, that story. And we know what's coming. We know it will be a back and forth between the reign of God and the rulers and the rule for this world. We know, ultimately, that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. But right now, in these days, we will lean in and listen for the word of the Lord for us right now in these tumultuous and challenging times. All three of these appointed texts call us to attention with the familiarity of these favorite childhood stories and the drama of good versus evil and the anxious hope of knowing the ending while simultaneously living out and walking through our own unique journey to get there. So we're encouraged to lean in and listen for the word of the Lord about a man named Job, and about the proclamation of the prophets, and about the word incarnate in the Son resisted throughout the ages. We're encouraged to lean in and listen about integrity, about this elusive trait, this priceless and yet all too easily and cheaply sold for a little more money or a little more power or status or adulation or self-protection. Hear the word of the Lord that bellows through all creation. Persist in your integrity. As the introduction to the Declaration of Barman, I encourage you to read through that introduction to the Declaration of Barman in our Book of Confession. It reminds believers, test everything against Scripture. If what we claim is contrary to the word of the Lord, they write, then discard it. If, however, our story matches God's, then stop at nothing and pay whatever price is required to follow this narrative. Persist in your integrity, the integrity of discipleship. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Worship the Lord with all your heart and your mind. No matter what the circumstances are. There once was a man, believers, who persisted in his integrity on one day and every day. The question is, will you? Will you persist in your integrity? So lean in and listen. In these days, about the last days and the first days, about the beginning, in the beginning days, and there will be and there will come a day about Jesus Christ. And remember the stories that tell of the one who sustains all things through his powerful word. No matter what the rhetoric is that you are hearing, don't forget that this Son, the one, made purification for our sins once and for always. No matter what happens on any given day. Jesus is with us in our suffering, in the chaos of sickness, and the relentless, systematic march of oppression. Look for Jesus and keep in mind that God is mindful of human beings, bringing everything to glory. Can you see it? Lean in and listen and gather around close and hear again about Pharisees testing the Son of God, the one sent to save. And take a seat and witness the Word made flesh and fulfill the law and make all things new. Learn what the Lord requires of us in our households and in our churches and in the cosmos and the world. Picture those who come to test the Lord of all. They've come with an agenda and a plan and a trick question and a test. They know Jesus can only fail. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Jesus answers with his own question, what does Moses say? And these Pharisees know better than anyone what Moses says. Moses allows it. If a wife displeases a husband, she can be dismissed. Jesus nods and adds, yes, because of your hardness of hearts. But I say to you, those God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus takes the religious, righteous back to the in the beginning intentions of a good and gracious God. The will of God, who created and called us good, is union. Not schism. Community, not estrangement. Compassion, not heartlessness. People are not to be discarded or discounted or dismissed. Children are too precious. Are too precious to the God Most High. Jesus gets indignant and furious at these 12 men who prevent the children's blessings. The kingdom of God belongs to those very little ones you are dismissing, discarding, discounting, demeaning. Those who God has created, God called good, loved enough to send his own son to save, do not ever shun or shame or ignore or abuse. The kingdom of God is theirs. Once upon a time, there was a God who sent the Son to save the world. God so loved the world, in fact, that Jesus Christ came to serve and poured himself out and died a painful and humiliating death to defeat sin and death and evil. In those days, Jesus stood up to every test, fulfilled every letter of the law, knowing those who believed and those who refused to hear that God desires mercy, not sacrifice. In these days, the Word still speaks, sustaining us with its power and infused with the Spirit. Friends, we've got to lean in and listen. For once upon a time is this time. This time, our time, all time. And God refuses to remain silent and commands us to speak up. hear and proclaim the word and the will of God. Persist in your integrity. Love God with all you've got. Love your neighbor with all that you have. Put no other gods before your God, no matter the cost. Never forget that God is mindful of humanity. With us in our suffering, ever combating evil and bringing about justice. The encouragement from these readings this morning, get your back up. Gird your loins whenever the vulnerable are sold for a piece of silver or trampled by the powerful or dismissed or discarded or discounted. The kingdom of God belongs to the children. Before we speak, ask ourselves, do our words reflect the word of God? Do our actions heed the Spirit? Do our communities shine the light of Christ in these days and in the future ones? What will come after. The statement may be said, there once was a church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.